I'm Barbara Gannon, Assistant Professor of History at the University of Central Florida, and you are listening to the Riches Documentary Podcast. Welcome to the Riches Documentary Podcast. Riches, the regional initiative for collecting the histories, experiences, and stories of Central Florida, is an umbrella program housing interdisciplinary public history projects that bring together different departments at the University of Central Florida with profit and nonprofit sectors of the community in order to promote the collection and preservation of the region's history. By facilitating research that records and presents the stories of communities, businesses, and institutions in Central Florida, Riches seeks to provide the region with a deeper sense of its heritage. This series will feature a podcast every 2 weeks, in the middle and at the end of each month, that will explore various aspects of Central Florida history. In today's episode, The Kerouac House, A Legacy of Perseverance, Kerouac House Board of Directors, American Literature Professors, and a personal friend of Kerouac elaborate on the significance of Kerouac House to Central Florida and the lasting legacy of the writer.
Little known to many Central Florida residents, author Jack Kerouac lived in College Park during his most prolific period. Living in a tiny apartment, Kerouac soared to fame with the publication of On the Road and wrote the follow-up, The Dharma Bums, as well as many letters. It wasn't until reporter Bob Keeling began to research Jack Kerouac did he learn of Kerouac's residency in the community. The Kerouac House serves as a living monument to the author and houses the Kerouac Writers in Residence Project, where aspiring writers can live in the house rent-free to work on their manuscripts. Today we will hear from literature professor Joseph Quadro from Rollins College, West 2 reporter Bob Keeling, Board of Directors Vice President Kim Buchheit, and benefactor, composer, and personal friend of Jack Kerouac's, Mr. David Amram. These individuals will share with us the influence of the Beat Generation and Jack Kerouac. We will learn about the Writer in Residency program and other community outreach. Finally, our guest will demonstrate that the legacy of Jack Kerouac and the Kerouac House is about more than just works of literature.
The principal players would be Allen Ginsberg, Jack Kerouac, William Burroughs, and then Gregory Corso. They had a tremendous influence. It was post-World War II America. The world was looking at the United States culturally. They pushed back and forth coast to coast, seeking out ways to express exactly what America was experiencing at the time. There was a lot of repression and conformity that was taking place at the same time. Yet, culturally and artistically, there were abstract expressionists pushing the parameters of visual art, and this group of writers were pushing the parameters of literature.
When the word beat became more and more popular, people assumed that it had to do with people lying around getting stoned and being negative and not doing anything. And the fact of reality, Jack, and for that matter, Alan and myself and everyone, were what you would call workaholics.
Kerouac was one of the great so-called beat writers, and his influence kind of came at a time where people were looking to break out of the normal confines of the nuclear family, moving to the suburbs, having 2.3 children. He was sort of the first person to, in a literary sense, give young people sort of the call to tap into their sense of wanderlust and to try to find their own road before, quote-unquote, settling down. His literature was very musical. It was very confessional. He liked to write sort of improvisationally, like the great jazz artist that he admired so much. So that's sort of him in a nutshell. He's kind of the 1950s literary Elvis.
And Jack was one of the best read people you would ever meet in his life. He was a real library rat, as they used to call him, in addition to being a star football player and a good sports writer for the Lowell Sun.
Kerouac was a writer with substantial perseverance. He persevered without recognition or even a nod toward publishing early work. So he saw something and understood something about himself that he had to write.
His name was Jack, and he was from a small town in Lowell, Massachusetts, and was still kind of overwhelmed by New York. I was brought up on a farm in Feasterville, Pennsylvania. I understood where he was coming from in that regard. And also, his family spoke French, and I had studied French in high school, and so I spoke French as well. And he loved all kinds of literature, everything from Beowulf to Baudelaire, and even enjoyed comic books. So he had like a very, very broad taste, a tremendous knowledge of music, and was also a very good scat singer. And then I found out he had actually heard me when I was playing with Mingus and playing, but I had never actually met him. We kept doing those things where he would read and I'd just make up music, and then sometimes he would bash away on the piano. I'd make sort of like scat rapping. And we just formed a friendship. He was just a wonderful guy. He also traveled and loved people and was very open and warm to everybody. So he was just a terrific person. On the Road hadn't come out, and we were both spectacularly unknown.
I had been to the Hemingway House in Key West in the mid-90s and then came back to Orlando as a fairly new resident here, sort of lamenting the fact that we didn't have anything like Hemingway's house. And it actually took a friend of mine from the Midwest to say, well, you know, I'd always heard that Jack Kerouac lived or died in Orlando or something like that. So I started following his life, you know, just trying to piece things together to see where the story would lead me, and I never thought it would take me this far.
A lot of people in Central Florida don't realize is that Jack Kerouac was living in Orlando at the time that On the Road was published. And he wrote The Dharma Bums in this room at 1418 and a half in Clouser Avenue.
I realize that this guy wrote these wonderful books in the most humble and simple of conditions, which proves that small is beautiful. And to remember that the Sermon on the Mount, Homer's Iliad and the Odyssey, when he was sitting on a ship, rapping all that stuff out. Socrates doing his rapping to a handful of people. None of these things were done in a stadium. So it doesn't have to be a super, mega, colossal, multi-zillion dollar event to have importance.
It's a nugget of culture amongst a lot of other things that might be classified as culture or not, but there's a legacy that takes place. Since Kerouac was such a restless person, which is indicative of the Beats in general, it wasn't that he spent a substantial amount of time here, but it was a significant moment since the publication of his first book at the time he was here, and that he wrote Dharma Bums. I think places like this bring in a less commercial aspect of culture to the area.
Kerouac sort of had a love-hate relationship with the state of Florida. He spent a lot of time with his mom, who was a widow, and his sister and her husband and son also lived here. Her husband, Paul, was working at Martin, and so the family sort of gravitated down here. So Kerouac would get down here, and he'd get kind of bored, and he'd start drinking, and, you know, he wrote a lot here in the Sunshine State. And the most important thing in terms of his career that happened here was that while he was living in Orlando, he made the transition from being this 35-year-old nomadic nobody writer. You know, in his mid-30s, he finally received the fame for his book On the Road. He wrote quite a bit here, wrote several novels, dozens of poems and letters, and left quite a legacy that we can still enjoy today.
I think it's really important for a community like Orlando that has so many people from so many different places, and it's really important, I think, for people to know that Orlando has true historic roots in literature and the arts and science, and all different kinds of interesting people lived here. Before Orlando was really even on the map, people get amazed when they find out these facts.
After I had started researching what later became my book, Kerouac in Florida, Where the Road Ends, I had come to the realization that I was the first person who had really sort of quote-unquote found this little house and realized the significance of it. So in 1997, I published a long article in what was then the Orlando Sentinel's Sunday magazine called Florida Magazine. And as a result of that article, a number of people in College Park contacted me about the idea of trying to preserve and save this house. And I thought it was an excellent idea.
And the house was going to be, you know, I guess knocked down and the property developed. And someone showed me an article in the newspaper to see if they could somehow save this place and just stop it from being bulldozed. So paid our own airfare down to meet, to see if we could find some way, somehow, maybe to raise enough money so that at least they wouldn't knock the house down.
Because honestly, I could envision, even back then, some sort of, I don't know what you want to say, tribute to him or some sort of museum in that setting. And that's how we took the initial steps and we formed the nonprofit, the Jack Kerouac Writer in Residence Project. It was just a process of, you know, scraping by, sometimes by the seat of our pants, but we've had some very generous benefactors, including the Darden Foundation locally, who've given us a significant amount of money to be able to purchase the house and pay off the mortgage. And since about 1999, we have been host to over 30 writers from all over the world who get to stay there and live rent-free for 3 months and pursue their own passion and not have to worry about paying the bills.
It would be a place where a writer could actually live, write, work, rent-free, and have a chance to work in the same house that Jack Kerouac, when he was totally obscure, and use that as a source of inspiration for their own work. And the committee of people that chose who the writers were just people in the community who loved writing. They weren't connected politically in any way to anything. So they've had an amazing number of different writers of every different style, different ages, different groups, even different nationalities, most of whom have gone on to not only continue what they were doing anyway, but have done remarkably well because they were given the chance.
I became more a fan of how he's inspired our community to promote creativity, still coming from our own community. So this isn't a monument or a big bronze statue with the birds landing on it, you know, with Jack Kerouac's name on a plaque. This is a living monument to Jack Kerouac's creativity. We have writers that are actually producing new literary works from Central Florida, and that's what excites me.
Because it's become a venue for other writers of the current day to have some time to live and work without some of the external pressures that society requires of us. So I wouldn't say it's so much the amount of time that he spent there that makes it important, but the opportunity that it allows for other people.
And I think there's also a lesson to be learned in terms of, for younger people, to not give up on your passions and to keep plying your trade, even if people do find it sort of unconventional. Because he followed his passion, and he kept plying his trade.
Jack Kerouac didn't necessarily have the best reputation. You know, he died at an early age, and he was kind of a tragic figure from that standpoint. His legacy can be something way more positive. I think what we're doing here is we're sharing with the community, and we're also getting our community recognized in the writing and artistic circles as something that's really important. And we're doing good work here, and the word is getting out. We're actually becoming one of the premier residencies known in the literary community. So our writers are going out and spreading the word and becoming ambassadors, not just for the Kerouac House, but for the community and for Orlando.
I think people need to realize that Orlando does have pre-Disney history. There's a lot of it here. And for anybody who's passionate about history, I would strongly encourage them to follow that passion and see where it leads them. Especially young people, you know, I tell them that history can be harnessed and it can be transformed and put to use for new generations. And history isn't just a bunch of dead people. If you go out and find it, and find a way to celebrate it, and all of a sudden we're all enriched, and we all have a sense of greater and stronger roots here. And the Kerouac House itself has become a cultural touchstone in the community. We have regular readings there, and classes are taught there, and workshops are held there. And it was all just because of the dedication of a group of grassroots people. It shows what common people like you and me can do when we're all like-minded, and we all have a common goal.
I will let David Amram offering the closing comments on the Kerouac legacy.
Some of the best things we have in our culture, including Jack Kerouac most of his life, very often stay under the radar, so to speak. People think of Jack Kerouac as somebody who was sitting around drunk and mumbling and hitchhiking around the country. Is so far from what he was actually all about. Fortunately, thank heavens, his books are published, and when people read his books, they get such a good feeling that they want to go out and write themselves or be creative, and they want to go out and live and celebrate life. And despite of the fact that he drank way too much, finally killed him at a young age, which is tragic, because we're here now, be able to see all of his dreams come true, which was he wanted to have his books read, and he hoped that they could uplift other people's lives, and he wanted to see a more compassionate world.
I would like to thank Kim Buchheit, Joe Quattro, Bob Keeling, and David Amram for their time. If you are interested in learning more about the Kerouac House, the Writer in Residence Program, or Shady Lane Press, or interested in volunteering with the organization or attending a reading, please visit www.kerouacproject.org. The Kerouac House is located at 1418 Clouser Street in College Park, Florida.
Thank you for listening to the Riches Documentary Podcast. Feel free to contact us with any questions or comments on the program that you just heard. Please join us for the next episode, Winter Gardens, 20th Century, Boom, Bust, and Rebirth.